Merry Christmas, everybody. I know we're still celebrating, right? We're still on that high from opening all of those presents, celebrating Jesus' birth. We're excited. And this is a very special Sunday because it only happens once every 7 years. We get to celebrate on New Year's Eve. We are here in church worshiping God before the coming New Year. Now, how special is that? Think of what an opportunity that is for us as followers of Christ, that we get to celebrate not only his birthday, but now we're celebrating on New Year's Eve, the coming of the new year, and we get to bring that in with love, with our fellow friends from church. I think that's rather appropriate this time of year, don't you? So, show of hands, how many of you have made a New Year's resolution ever before? And some of you, I know that you're not raising your hands, you probably have at least once, right? So how long did it last? Maybe a week, maybe if you're lucky, a couple months, right? You know, we're all excited to make these New Year's resolutions, but have you ever thought about why we don't keep them till the end of the year? What roadblock causes us to not have that resolution completed at the end of the year? It's not something we typically check off. I don't know about you. I personally, I haven't ever made it to the end of the year. You know, maybe a couple months at most, and then it kind of fades away and goes away. So when we make our resolutions, are we making them for ourselves? Are we doing it with or because of others? And lastly, did we even think about inviting God into our planning for that New Year's resolution? You know, me personally, I know when I first did one, you know, hey, I wanted to lose weight or I wanted to read 10 books this year, whatever the resolution was, maybe you wanted to be kinder to your fellow family members, whatever that resolution was, did we take a minute and did we stop and did we pray and did we invite God into that planning with us? I truly believe that if we don't take that step, that we ourselves as humans, because we are sinful, we're never going to make that to completion. We didn't invite God in to let him join us. And because of that, we're never going to get it finished. So here's the opportunity for this year to take that step, to first of all, invite God with us on this journey of 2024. So we're going to, in this whole service today, is going to help us remind us of that. We are in covenant with God to be holy people. Our scripture today is going to be from 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter wrote this letter as a general letter to all people, which includes us today. It's very relevant for us today. He wrote this to remind the people of whose they were and that we are called to be holy. So here are the good news that Peter has to share with us. This is a letter from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. All praise to glory to God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy, The reward for trusting him will be salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about. When they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you, they wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about, and when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preach in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels eagerly watching these things happen. So, prepare your minds for action and express self-control. Put all your hope and gracious salvation into that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways, living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, "You must be holy because I am holy." And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge and reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it is not paid by mere gold or silver, which will lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long ago, before the world began. But now in these days, he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God, because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. So you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your life will last forever because it comes from the eternal, living Word of God. As the scripture says, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. So today we have an opportunity, like I said, with this being the new year, that we get to take a look at what it really truly means to be holy. And we get to reflect on what we did this year and what we want to do in the coming year. And so with that being said, you know, we have trouble, when things get tough, we kind of have a tough time kind of looking to God sometimes. Sometimes we get stuck in those moments where, you know, we get bogged down by our emotions or other people kind of feeding that information into us. And we kind of sometimes, not necessarily turn our back, but we kind of forget that God's there. So this is a chance for us to renew that covenant with God today and talk about what it is to be holy. So, like I said, with this service, Peter was reminding us about our sinful nature, right? We all know we sin. And he was also sharing with us that, you know, God wanted us to be holy. So he also tells us that due to God's sacrificial love, that agape love, that through Jesus, we can in turn have pure hearts, so that we can share that with the others around us and we can love them with our whole heart. We were told that God says you are to be holy, for I am holy. Well, what God was really telling us is we need to separate our lives from the world around us and what the culture sees as normal. Because in order to do that, and when we do that, then we can truly be holy ourselves. Following Jesus and modeling his love and forgiveness and our faith in our daily lives models that for others to see. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time to show us his grace through Jesus Christ." Also, Ephesians 1:4, even before he made the world, now think about that, even before God made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Now note what Paul tells us here, that God had a plan before the beginning of time for all of us. And even Peter noted that as well in our scripture that I just read for today, that God planned this out way before he even created the earth. He knew that we were going to be his chosen people. He knew that we were going to be holy. So, how do we make the necessary course correction in our daily lives to reflect being God's chosen holy people? What does this look like for us on a day-to-day life? A notable example is what the table does. We have a class partnership with Mrs. Knight's class in the elementary. So once a month, volunteers from the table go into her classroom. We play games with the students. We love on them. We give them encouragement once a month. And it's a great time. It's had by everybody. Last month, the school did a Thanksgiving feast. So they invited the parents to come. And mind you, this was during the day. So I know a lot of parents, they had to work, right? They couldn't come to school to be with their kids. So Mrs. Knight thought this was an important thing for her students to have somebody there with them, to have lunch with them. So she reached out to us and said, I need some volunteers. So we got together a group of people that volunteered. You know, we had enough people for every single student in that class to have somebody have lunch with them. Every single student, that was 21 kids in her class, had their parent or a volunteer parent step in and sit with them. Think of the joy and the love that was shared with that student. Knowing that their parent couldn't be there, but here was a total stranger that they'd never met until that day, that came and sat with them and had conversation with them, got to know them, ate with them, and then got to go see their artwork. And the kids were so excited, they would take your hand and run around and point to their artwork that was around the cafeteria. They got to show somebody what they'd done and how nice that work was. And at the end, we all got our picture taken in front of a big Thanksgiving backdrop. So the kids had a picture to remember how exciting that day was. When we stop focusing on ourselves and we look at what other people need and let God lead us into things like that, we find that we grow in ways that we didn't even think were possible. Think about those kids. They might not know who Jesus is. They might not know the love of God. But do you think that that volunteer, by loving on that student for just 45 minutes, showed that student that somebody cared about them? Somebody loved them enough to show up, even when a parent had to work and they couldn't come. They let God work through somebody else to show them that, you know what, it's okay. We can still have a good time. Life is okay. Things are great. And you know, I noticed that day that there were a lot of other students who sat by themselves. And it really made me kind of sad that other teachers hadn't had the initiative to reach out and be like, hey, can you come and sit with a student for lunch? So think what that would look like maybe next year if the school did that, what it would look like if every student had somebody there for them to be with them and share that excitement of that day with them, how special that would be. So in the coming year, how can we, as children of God, practice being holy and grow closer to God? First and foremost, we need to stop and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to join us on this journey. Because without him and God and Jesus, all three together there, we wouldn't be getting anywhere in life. Only then, after we have asked him, will God step in and say, I have a plan for you. Being holy in God's eyes sets us apart from the world. And when we live that out in our daily lives, we show others what Jesus did. That gives us an opportunity to reflect what we truly believe, and others can see that in our daily lives. So being holy means staying connected to God through prayer and reading his word. Being holy means thinking the way God thinks. Being holy means showing compassion and love to others. This includes loving others who, in our eyes, might not deserve love or forgiveness. But by being connected with God and the Holy Spirit, He can intervene in our behalf, and He can forgive those even when we are unable to do that ourselves. Being holy means serving others like Jesus did, helping the least and the lost, and our fellow Christians who might be struggling. Being holy means we need to respect our bodies. After all, our bodies are God's temple, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So there are many things we can do to keep ourselves or keep God's temple holy. Eating healthily, exercising, which I know are not easy. I'm on that bandwagon too myself. Watching out for things that we watch and listen to. How many of you have seen all the shows that are on television right now that you kind of go, ugh? Well, you know, and that's our norm right now, right? So thinking about what we're watching, what we're listening to, music. I know most of us probably have good music choices, but think about some of the lyrics and some of those songs we listen to. Things that we are inputting into our brain throughout the year, those things can affect being holy. And then, of course, not performing sinful acts. Lastly, being holy means conducting ourselves in a godly manner within our families and out in public. When today's world shows us the exact opposite way to act, take a page from Jesus' time and turn it upside down. Just like he did with the money changers' change tables, we're going to say, you know what? No, I don't want to do this today. We're going to show people that there's a different way to act, a different way to behave in situations of this type of society we have, the instant gratification and the wanting more all the time. Think of what Jesus would have done. And I don't know about you, but this year I want to focus on more about God and where He's leading and loving those around me. God created us to be in community, and God had a plan for us before the beginning of time to be His holy people. So let's go and show God that we are His holy people, especially this next year. So here's the challenge. How is God calling you to be holy? What will it take for you to think God's thoughts, for you to love compassionately while forgiving others, for you to serve like Jesus served, for you to respect yourself in healthy ways, not only by what we eat, but also by what we watch, we listen to, and how we speak to others. And lastly, for you to live these things out in your daily life, showing others through your example. Now let us take some time in a prayer to commit ourselves to growing closer to God as we renew our covenant with Him. This will be a call and response prayer, and the words will be on your screen. Let us pray together.
My righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me now as I fall down before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness when I have not done your will. Your promise, mercy, if I turn to you with my whole heart.
God requires that you rid yourself of every idol in your life.
From the bottom of my heart, I, here and now, renounce every idol in my life, covenanting with you that I will not commit any known sin. I turn it against your will. I have turned my love towards the world. In your power, I will watch for any temptation that will lead me away from you.
Through Jesus Christ, God offers to be your God again, if you allow him to be.
Before all heaven and earth, I hear and now acknowledge you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as my Lord and God. I vow to give all of myself, body, and soul to be your servant and to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life.
Jesus Christ is the only way that means to God. God has given us Jesus as the way and means to salvation.
Jesus, I here and now accept you as the only new and living way. I join myself in covenant with you. I come to you hungry, sinful, miserable, blind, and naked, unworthy even to wash the feet of your servants. With all my power, I accept you as my Lord and head. I renounce my own unworthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my law.
Christ has told you that you must suffer with him.
Jesus, I here and now make this covenant with you and accept whatever comes in life. Through your grace, I promise that neither life nor death will separate me from you.
God has given holy laws as the rule of your life.
I here and now willingly take on your yoke and burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I accept them as the rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising I will strive to order my whole life around your direction. I will not allow myself to neglect anything I know to be my duty.
The Almighty God searches and knows you, even the thoughts of your heart.
O God, you know that we have made this covenant today in sincerity, without deceit or reluctance. If you find anything false in us, guide us and help us to set it right. And now, glory be to you, God the Father. From this day forward, I shall look upon you as my God and Father. Glory be to you, God the Son. You have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood. From this day forward, I shall look upon you as my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God the Holy Spirit. By your almighty power, you have turned my heart from sin to God. From this day forward, I shall look upon you as my Comforter and Guide. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend, and I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. You are mine, and I am yours. So be it. May this covenant that I have made here on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen.
God is making all things new. The past is over and done. It has taught us many lessons. But God is the God of the future. New opportunities, new hopes, new dreams, and renewed vision. God dwells with us to be our God. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.